I guess I should first just say my name is Terry, for those of you who may not know. Yeah, so dear Ty, dear Sangha, dear friends. I'm gonna talk a little bit about loving speech and deep listening, which many of us know is the fourth mindfulness training. It is February, which I do think of as the month of love. I'm not a big fan of commercial holidays, but I like to take them and pull out some good essence from them. And this one's just been speaking to me a lot lately. And so I'm just gonna read it first just to be all on the same page. Loving speech and deep listening. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I am committed to cultivating loving speech and compassionate listening in order to relieve suffering and to promote reconciliation and peace in myself and among other people, ethnic and religious groups, and nations. Knowing that words can create happiness or suffering, I am committed to speaking truthfully, using words that inspire confidence, joy, and hope. When anger is manifesting in me, I am determined not to speak. I will practice mindful breathing and walking in order to recognize and to look deeply into my anger. I know that the roots of anger can be found in my wrong perceptions and lack of understanding of the suffering in myself and in the other person. I will speak and listen in a way that can help myself and the other person to transform suffering and see the way out of difficult situations. I am determined not to spread news that I do not know to be certain and not to utter words that can cause division or discord. I will practice right diligence to nourish my capacity for understanding, love, joy, and inclusiveness, and gradually transform anger, violence, and fear that lie deep in my consciousness. And it's interesting, as I was doing a little bit of research for this, just kind of looking at some other things, and there's a post on the Plum Village website that actually lists deep listening first. The idea being that if I can't listen deeply, how can I possibly know what the right words are or what the loving words are? And I hadn't thought of it that before, but this practice just generally has been a big part of my practice. I joined Sangha practice about 5.5 years now, and I heard it pretty soon after that. And it stuck with me because it feels like the hardest of the, I've said this before, it's like the hardest of the five mindfulness trainings for me because I'm such a talker. And I cut people off, and I'm not great at listening. I like to sort of jump in, and like, I also have this little deep-seated thing of like justifying what I'm doing or being like, let me tell you why I'm right. Let me explain to you. And so all of those things just don't make me the best listener. And so when I heard that, you know, this felt, you know, I'm one of those people who's like, this is a thing for me. I want to transform this, right? And just as an example, my brother called me just a week or so ago, and he often will call me during the workday because he drives a lot for work. And I don't. I'm sitting at my desk working away. And so sometimes I'll answer and sometimes I won't. But this particular day he'd called me before. So it was the second call. And so I thought, well, maybe this is important, which I know from experience it doesn't mean anything. But I still just had this. So I answered when I probably shouldn't have answered at all. And I answered and said, Is this important? Because I am just swamped right now. He was like, no, just called to say hi. It's fine. And of course, I instantly like real. And so we hung up with them that evening. I called him back and I said, hey, I'm really like, I did not mean to answer the phone that way. And he said, you know, thanks for the apology. You do that a lot. You'll answer with like, I only got 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, you're right. And in the past, when I got that kind of feedback, I would sort of use it as this excuse to berate myself. Like, oh, I'm a terrible, what is wrong with me? I'm a terrible sister. Why would I do that? Why couldn't I just take like pause and pray, you know, what is wrong with me? And just really using that as an excuse to, yeah, think that I'm this terrible person because I have this habit. And it's kind of a familiar habit. I mean, my brothers and I grew up in a family with a lot of physical and emotional violence. We grew up with parents who really used some kind of hateful speech toward each other and toward us. And I think my brothers and I learned to use that on ourselves too. It's just the sort of thing that, you know, I just learned to be really sarcastic, you know, at best. That was sort of one of my coping mechanisms, and I still do that. And another thing I think I learned really well was to not pay attention to my own feelings, to really like discount those too. Like, why am I so angry? I shouldn't be angry. Like, she's just trying to be nice. Stop being angry, Terry. What's wrong with you? Or like, why are you so sensitive? I just learned a lot of those things early on. Just through some, I think, deep suffering in my family. And even before I joined this practice, you know, I started doing the therapy, which, you know, my parents didn't have access to. My parents also didn't have access to meditation and sangha. You know, we were a pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of family. And so that therapy and this practice has really helped in terms of, you know, meditation and being able to pause and asking that question of like, is this true? Is this true what I'm saying? But that fourth mindfulness training has really stuck with me as, you know, as I've developed my practice, I've sort of developed this desire to transform suffering and to speak more lovingly and listen more deeply and really, really try to do that in a good way. But I've always experienced that as sort of more an outward thing, like thinking about the other person. And I also can do this thing with any training or teaching that it can be this double-edged sword, right? It can be this like striving, like this is the way that I should be. And I am falling so short of this. And what is wrong with me, right? It feeds into this cycle it's this thing that I'm failing at. But luckily, this practice is not just about the Dharma and the trainings. We also have the practice of sitting and pausing and smiling. And so I think using both of those has been a good learning for me. And the other thing that this practice has brought me that's helped are Sangha friends, people who sometimes see things more clearly than I do in a given moment. And not just Sangha, I mean, I have friends who are don't have this practice at all, who are that same kind of mirror, give me that ability to ask is that true when I'm not thinking to ask it? And one of those Sangha friends I was having lunch with 3 or 4 months ago, and I was talking about this situation with another friend who she doesn't know. And I said, I need to ask her what she wants to do. Like, I need to ask her what, you know, what she thinks and what, you know, how she wants to go forward. And my Sangha friend looked me in the eyes and said, Terry, what do you want? And I was like, what do I want? That's so selfish. Why would I think about what I want? But of course, like any, you know, like any good question, it sat with me for a while. And yeah, like why did that feel selfish? And it was one of those, and I feel like a lot of these things are like lessons that I learn over and over and that just take time to sink in. But not long after that, I realized, oh, I'm thinking of, like, you know, maybe I had been thinking about the less than loving speech that I'd been using on myself, but I hadn't been thinking about maybe I wasn't listening to my own feelings. And I heard on this podcast, not a Buddhist podcast, but another podcast that I love, they had a guest on who said, anger is just a thing that tells you what you need. And again, anger is one of those emotions that I like to push away and ignore and not listen to. And I was like, oh, maybe this is why I keep like getting angry and simmering with resentment all the time. Maybe I need to listen a little more to my own self. And it's just so funny how I can, I mean, I think we can all do this with the practice. Like I can turn things in a certain way. And I've always thought of this, the loving speech and deep listening, like I said, as an outward practice. But actually, I'm just gonna, there's a few lines in here that actually say, I'm committed to cultivating loving speech and compassionate listening in order to relieve suffering and to promote reconciliation and peace in myself and among other people. And then there's one about the roots of anger can be found in my wrong perceptions and lack of understanding of the suffering in myself and in the other person. And so yeah, that's actually putting myself first in there. So that's been kind of interesting. And you know, I've been thinking if I can listen more deeply to my own self and maybe not be simmering with resentment, that maybe that opens up more space to speak more lovingly to myself and also to the other person. And also that berating myself and putting myself down is just not, you know, if I believe in our interconnectedness and our interbeing, and I do, then how could I think that I could sit here and say mean things to myself and then turn and say something kind to Dallin? It just, I mean, I can do it, but like, what place is that coming from? And so, yeah, it kind of just seems almost ridiculous in a way that I could do that. And in the midst of all this kind of percolating, I went to the weekend of mindfulness that we had on Flathead Lake in December. And the first night, Greg, who was our Dharma teacher there, offered a guided meditation. And I think most of us here at this point know a lot of guided meditations in this practice. Breathing in, I am aware of something, something. Breathing out, and there's sometimes an action and sometimes there's not. And Greg was doing one of these meditations and he said, I am paraphrasing because it was long, but he said, breathing in, my mind is the product of my ancestors, my family, my society, my habits, my thought pattern. It was like all these things. And I was sitting there going, what's he gonna say to this? What could you like? It's just so ridiculous, my mind, right? And then Greg says, breathing out, smiling. And I started laughing. I mean, we're all sitting together. There's like 60 people, however many. And I'm like, I guarantee you the people like right by me heard me. Like, so I was just like, Terry, keep it together. It's like, you know, if you've ever like laughed at a funeral or somewhere where it's supposedly inappropriate, that's what I was like. And then it made me want to laugh more, right? Because I was like, I shouldn't be laughing here. Huh? And then I started, I got it under control. But I've told a few people this, that I think the way that I translated it in my mind, you know, of course, my mind is the product of all, could be a very positive thing, too, right? There are all kinds of positive conditions from my ancestors and my family, and I do have positive habits and thought patterns. But in that moment, because I'd been just struggling with all this negative talk and just all kinds of things, I translated it as, my mind is a dumpster fire. Smiling. It just was like, it was just this moment. It's just what I did. It was this moment of like joy and spaciousness and like grace for myself, right? Because I'm not a terrible person. I'm not a terrible sister. I am just a human being who makes mistakes, whose mind is a dumpster fire sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we don't say, I act unskillfully, I speak unskillfully. I don't know if we say mistakes, but but you know, it was this, yeah, this opening, like it broke something open in me. And that laughing, like with myself instead of at myself, it just gave me that capacity. And I think when I have those moments, it gives me the capacity to listen to myself, right? And to other people. And, you know, when I can do that, it's like practicing this mindfulness training, the loving speech and deep listening with like, yeah, this, with a smile, right? With like spaciousness and a little grace, and not with the simmering, like, oh my God, I can't, I only have 5 minutes to talk. You know, it's the pause, right? It's the pause. But for me, I think because I can be so serious and I can like use all these things as a rule, I think I need that laughter a little bit more. So I've been renewing this off again, on again practice that I've had for years, but I drop it a lot. And that is just saying really nice things to myself. And often out loud, I go, Terry, you are just amazing. You are kind and you are fun. You are such a fun person. Just kind of, and I'll find myself being like, this is ridiculous. Okay, this is ridiculous. But the voices that tell me I'm awful, like, is that true? Like, why would I listen to those voices? Why not listen to the voice that tells me I'm amazing? I'm a bodhisattva. Right? Like, why not listen to that voice? Like, it certainly doesn't seem to hurt anything. So far, you all let me know if I do that. But yeah, so that's just been a big practice. And also thinking about listening to myself in a moment. You know, when someone asks me to do something, or someone needs me to listen, or someone, you know, like, what do I need in this moment? What do I need? And, another thing that I did was I put on my refrigerator, what makes me smile? What do I want? And so I've been trying to think about those things. And so really right now that, I mean, I guess it's all those things, right? My practice is kind of all those things, just thinking of turning that loving speech and deep listening inward on myself. And I do believe that that makes a difference in terms of how I act with other people and, you know, transforming some of the suffering in myself and in my family. I do sometimes when I'm pausing and breathing, I think, gosh, like, imagine if my parents had had this opportunity. You know, and like maybe they're having it now a little bit through me. And that makes me smile too. But I think ultimately in this moment, I'm trying just not to like do it with that outward focus, not do it because it's going to transform things or because, but just do it because it makes me feel good. And that seems like a good enough reason. And also, it will have those sort of added benefits to the world because, finding more joy and spaciousness and loving speech in myself, yeah, just it has ripple effects, I think, without me having to strive for it. So, yeah, I think that's all I got.